the Saturday Light Brigade. So I already gave you a bit of an introduction to what you're about to hear. And I'm required to just share my joy and great emotion to having my buddy Ed Feeney here, who has been with me through thick and thin and thick and thin and thick and thin and thick and thin for a long time. And I'm so happy that she's here, too. And along with Rick Bilieri and George Mann, who are both from Vermont, and you'll get a chance to hear a little bit more. Do I have you both in the right place? Is it Vermont?
No, I live in Ithaca.
Oh, sorry about that, George.
But they're equally beautiful places.
I was just reading something really interesting. There's a lot of interesting things in Ithaca, but this was even more interesting. It'll come back to me. It has nothing to do with anything we're talking about now.
Local currency, Ithaca dollars.
Yes. Here, getting started, are you calling yourselves the Almanac Trail?
We're calling this tour the Almanac Trail.
So from the Almanac Trail, Rick and George and Ann.
One, two, three. I'm going down the road feeling bad. I'm going down that road feeling bad. I'm going down that road feeling bad. Lord, Lord, I ain't gonna be treated this way.
There they are from the Almanac Trail. And let's meet everybody. Rick, this is your the child of your brain. So let's chat with you about how this came about.
Well, you know, it's really wonderful when you have a dream and then you can watch that dream come true, Larry. I know all the young people are listening out there and they all have dreams. And I think it's important for them to understand that dreams come with a price. It means sometimes a lot of hard work. And I had this dream when I was just a young fella, back 30 years ago.
Is that right? Is that true?
That's true.
I had no idea.
And I thought it was a good idea to give some honor to these people, the Almanac Singers, who was the young Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and Lee Hayes and Mill Lampell. The original ones, and then Sis Cunningham and Bess Hawes, and just about anybody who kind of wandered into their circle became an Almanac Singer. And at the time, a lot of them were still alive. But I didn't have the experience. I didn't know the right people. And after a short time, that dream kind of just sat in my file drawer. That was until last year when I met with George Mann, and I showed him the letter when he was visiting over at the house. And he said, you know, Rick, I have a lot of these contacts, and I think that with my skill that we could make this dream come true. And that's when the work began. And George rolled up his sleeves, like any good union worker does, and went right to work. And he booked the back end of the tour first, kids. That means that there was no escape.
That's a good.
We had to fill it in. It took a long time. But we were able to get a hold of Pete Seeger. And he was able to give interviews with me. And kids, one of the things is sometimes when you do an interview, you just never know where it's going to be. And the last interview I did with Pete was on May 14th, not too long ago. And the only way that I could get him was, he's 94, he was going to a doctor's appointment, and his wife was going to a doctor's appointment, and he had 2 hours of free time. So he sat in my pickup truck. And for 2 hours, Pete and I talked about the old days of the Almanac Trail. And it was through all of his assistance and the Woody Guthrie Foundation that, together with George's work, putting together the contacts, and then all of these other friends like Ann Feeney coming together and wanting to be a part of this, that this little dream that I had for so long started to come to life. And we are now following the Almanac Trail. That means that we are following the trail that the original Almanacs did, playing in union halls and different union kind of places all across the country, from East Coast to West Coast, up to the North, up all the way to Washington, Seattle, Spokane, Butte, out to the Hobo Convention out in Britt, Iowa, and Buffalo and Minneapolis. And everyone can go onto our website, the almanactrail.com, and you can follow us.
Now, it's just to interject, it's really, this is part of this country's history, and it really doesn't get covered much in history class. But this is the time, you know, when, you know, long before OSHA, long before any kinds of standards for workers, long before the so-called 8-hour day or the so-called livable wage, this is, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, regardless of your political leanings, this is really important to understand what happened here. Is he had these people that just decided to move around. I mean, Lee Hayes was a church man, you know, lay preacher, and just an incredible human being. And then you mentioned Pete and Woody. Woody, a lot of people don't realize Woody was a pretty good commercial songwriter and got commissioned to do songs. He probably gave up a little revenue to do this as part of it. So it's really important. And this CD does a great job. It's brand new. I'm looking at it now. There's 17 songs on it, or 17 tracks, and there's some spoken interviews, too, of following the trail. And the website's really cool because you've got a map with the pins in it. I got to turn to Ann.
Where is that available?
Yeah.
AlmanacTrail.com.
You're doing all your sales direct from the website?
Well, are we allowed to say that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, people can order the album directly from the website, the check for $15 in the U.S.
Don't talk money.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You can find the info Aunt, there.
Ann's my baby. She knows. You can. We can.
Anyway, you can
we're not allowed to say it's $15.
I knew better.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll take that back, and I'll say that
he
you
never
can
said
find
that.
The information at the website.
Yeah.
And you can mail a check to us there, or cdbaby.com. We'll have it up in another week or so.
Great.
But, yeah, you can order it right through us.
So, George, while we're on you, we need to get to know you a little bit better. You're playing guitar. Rick's playing banjo. So tell me about your life a little bit.
Well, I've known Ann for 20 years almost. Met her through the labor movement. I was a union organizer when I started becoming more interested in labor folk music and folk music in general. and met Anne through a number of people in the folk world. She was the president of the Pittsburgh Musicians Union at the time. And she and other elders like Charlie King and Utah Phillips all helped me, as now we begin to help the younger players out there too. But the interesting thing is, you know, I was an organizer for 9 years in the union movement, and then I changed over and said I'd rather do music full time. And, you know, it's a lot more insecure because you don't have a paycheck and benefits, but it's a lot more fun.
Now, did you organize for musicians?
Oh, yeah. Six years I worked with the Musicians Union in New York City. That was my main gig. But I also worked with communication workers and service workers in SEIU at one point.
What do you think would surprise people about organizing? Folks have this perception of what that is.
How difficult it is to actually achieve union representation and a contract in this country. Because even when you win an election for a union, 30% never get their first contract because the boss continues to fight. And the laws are so weak, there's no punishment really for companies that violate the labor laws. But the interesting thing you mentioned I wanted to say quickly is, you know, this music comes from that time right after the National Labor Relations Act was passed in 1935, which gave us the right to unionize. But those laws were being tested and challenged for the first few years by all the business interests. So what the Almanacs were tuning into was this mass wave of energy, and unions were organizing in steel, they were organizing in auto, they were steel in the electrical industries.
The president wants you to organize.
Yeah. And the Almanacs picked up on that, and they started writing these songs and singing and popularizing them to go out to spur that movement on. That's what the 1941 tour was really about, and that's what Rick and I are hoping to do with people like Ann and others on the way around the country.
And it's incredible. I really think without the music, and Anne is a better person. I ask her to comment on this. The music was really central to this, was it not? Because in order to get everybody on board and understanding, I mean, it was a great unifier. Maybe it would have happened anyway, but it had to be a great catalyst. I mean, we think about music and unions as if they were natural bedfellows, but it didn't have to go that way, right? It could have been very different.
I think every great social movement has had a cultural component. I mean, I can't even imagine the civil rights movement without music, and the labor movement was very much the same way. If you're trying to communicate to a mass group of people with varying educational levels and varying immigration status, nothing reaches a large dissimilar group better than music, and you find yourself humming. The IWW, one of the earliest unions in this country, was completely a musical union. Joe Hill, that they wrote the song about, was actually a fabulous union song, you know, union songwriter. And it's the music, I think, that binds us and gets us through the tough times. And it's a way to explain very difficult concepts, too. I loved writing my corporate welfare polka, for example, because it's such a complex issue. But if you make it fun, you know, and Roy Zimmerman's a master of that, too. There are so many great people spreading the union word these days, and it's not just archival material that the tour is featuring. We're doing a lot of the music from the Almanac tour, the original Almanac singers, and from the album that emerged or that they took with them on that tour, Talkin' Union. But it's also including a lot of newer songs that have given people hope and inspiration.
I want to talk more about the tour and how we've got lots of folks. In fact, Galadriel, good morning to you. I did see your email. She's listening in Lexington, Kentucky today.
Ah.
We've heard from folks in Georgia and in Florida and all over the place. So it'll be good to sort of at least talk about some of the upcoming places. But I know we should hear some more music, too. What would you like to do next? Or you don't even have to announce it. We may know it already. You've got that nice long neck Pete Seeger banjo, I just noticed.
Well, I think what we could do is we could do the Union Maid. Would you like to do that?
Okay.
So, and we can, folks at home, or.
Now, this song is one of the songs that Woody Guthrie wrote. It's one of the most famous songs in the labor movement. And as Anne was saying, the reason music is so central is because these songs they bring us together as human beings when we're in the same room singing them. But it also is something that tells an important story of resistance to power and overcoming fear, having courage, things like that.
It's a fun song.
And this is
I love about Union Maid and other songs, there were so many people who were terrified while they were doing this work. We had this image of the working class rising up and that they're mighty and powerful. But a lot of these people were terrified. There were the kids in the Southern churches are singing, "We are not afraid," and that ended up being the verse that really caught on. And when you hear music like that, you can join hands and walk out and walk right into an army of police with batons and attack dogs and fire hoses and change history. And that's what happens with songs. I know a lot of people who sang this song were scared to death when they first sang it, and that's what this chorus is about.
There once was a Union maid, she never was afraid of the goons and the ginks and the company finks and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. She went to the Union Hall when a meeting it was called, and when those Legion boys came round, she always stood her ground. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. Sticking to the Union till the day I die. This Union maid was wise to the tricks of the company spies. She'd never be fooled by the company stool. She'd always organize the guys. She'd always get away when struck for higher pay. She'd show her cards in the National Guard. This is what she'd say. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. Oh, you can't. I'm sticking to the Union, I'm sticking to the Union, till the day I die. Be free, just take this tip from me. Break out of that mold you've all been sold. You've got a fight in history. Fight for women's rights, with labor must unite. Like Mother Jones, move them bones to the heart of every fight.
Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union.
And you'd be happy to know that that was the first song I learned how to play on the guitar.
Cool.
It was easy.
Well, Larry, there's a really interesting story that goes with that song. And Pete Seeger said that he met Woody about, 1940. And they went out and they were working with the oil workers union. And they went to do a little oil workers union meeting. And there were a lot of women and children there. They couldn't find babysitters, And so the women, they brought their children there, and they were having this little meeting going on. And all of a sudden, these men appeared at the back of the room, and they had on long trench coats. And Bob Wood, the organizer, said, oh, I think there's going to be trouble. You better start singing, said to Pete and Woody. So Pete and Woody started singing the songs and got everybody singing along, and found out that the men underneath their overcoats had big bats, big clubs. But, they heard the music, they heard the message, and they came over and they said that we were sent here to break up this meeting, but we can see that what you're doing is not causing any harm. And they didn't do it. And that night, Bob's wife, Ina Woods, who's also a union organizer, said, Woody, you're always writing all these songs about men. Men this and fellow brother this. And what about the women? If it wasn't for these women here tonight, there might have been violence. And that's when Woody wrote that song. And kids, you know, that's what's the interesting thing about this CD is that you can actually hear Pete Seeger telling some of these stories at age 94. And what a great honor it's been to have him as part of the project.
Well, you've written the textbook, actually. I don't know of a good book that describes the Almanac Trail. It's covered in Lee Hayes's biography as part of his life. But are you aware of a book that...
This is the first time, Larry, that anything like this has ever been done.
Yeah, I've...
There's just snippets. Only snippets.
And the details are very sketchy. And Lee's book is only like 2 pages about this whole tour, you know. Yeah. But the thing is that by Rick going to talk to Pete, you know, jogged his memory a little bit. And that's why when we conceived the album, we knew we wanted to do the 6 songs on the original Talkin' Union album. Mm-hmm. And some of these other songs, there's 11 songs or 12 songs on the album. But we also wanted Pete on there because he takes the story along. It's like a, you know, if you listen to the album from beginning to the end, you actually hear the story progressing about how they came together and made this music and then how they hit the road and went out there and sang for the unions.
We've
got to
make sure that we get the song in, though, you know, it's in C. And, you know, when they started that tour, you know, back, it was in July. Nobody's really sure. Some people say it was right after the 4th of July that they hit the road, but nobody's really sure. It was early July. And they were driving in this midnight blue Buick 1932 touring car that they got from this gangster named Joey the Mouth. And as George says, it's probably Joey's mouth that made this car all of a sudden available, because all of a sudden they had the money, they bought this car, and the car had bulletproof glass and it had lead shields to protect the car.
Something most folk singers really
need. Yeah, especially people who are singing union songs could use a bulletproof car.
In those days.
And they jumped in the car, and they were coming right here, kids. They were coming right here to Pittsburgh to sing for the steelworkers. And that's who we sang for last night. And while they were riding along, as we were doing, Ann and George and I, we're riding along in our – we have a Ford Focus from the – A United Auto Workers has a little sticker on it made with pride in the Michigan plant. So we're driving a union car and we're singing along. We're going and working on songs. Kids, I'm tuning to see.
Ann, are you able to be along on some of these other cities that these guys are going to?
Yeah, I got starstruck last night. They're going to take me to Cleveland with them in Detroit, and I'm looking forward to seeing all my friends in both of those towns.
Yeah, tonight we're singing in Cleveland.
We're singing in Cleveland
tonight, and then off to Detroit.
Well, if you're listening, we have a lot of listeners on our Muskingum County affiliate at Muskingum University in New Concord, Ohio. Not that far. It's not. I know you're not that close to Cleveland, but you're also closer than I am.
Get on the Almanac Trail. Come on.
That's right. And so here we are. Imagine that. We're driving down in that midnight blue Buick car, and we're thinking about we're going to the Pittsburgh steelworkers, and we have to sing a song. But there is no song. We have to make one up. So they're all sitting in the car, and Ann knows the song, so she's going to help out. Now, if you want to sing along, it's pretty fun to sing along.
Well, Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, salt iron from a Keysport down, Pittsburgh.
Lord God, Pittsburgh.
You're going to help and lead on this one, Ann. This is your town.
All right.
What did Jones and Lachlan steal, Pittsburgh?
What did Jones and Lachlan steal, Pittsburgh?
Well, what did Jones and Lachlan steal?
Up down the river as far as you can see now, Pittsburgh.
Lord God, Pittsburgh. All I do is cough and choke in Pittsburgh.
All I do is cough and choke in Pittsburgh.
All I do is cough and choke
from the iron filings and the sulfur smoke.
Oh, in Pittsburgh. Lord God, Pittsburgh.
From the Allegheny to the Ohio
in Pittsburgh. From the Allegheny to the Ohio in Pittsburgh. From the Allegheny to the Ohio, then joining up in the CIO in Pittsburgh. Lord God, Pittsburgh. And you know, we are so close to the birthplace of the CIO. Over at Martin Luther King Elementary is where the convention center was that the original CIO was convened.
Did not know that. The Market
there's
House.
A historic marker there. You should go check it out. But the actual physical birthplace of the CIO is within a stone's throw of this building.
The one, I had no idea of that.
I think that that's the thing that, that we're trying to do, kids, is, you know, sometimes we all go to school and we learn things, but not everything is taught in school. Sometimes you have to go and you have to search out information. And that's, we're not trying to say anything for you to think any certain way. All we're trying to do is to try to give you some things to think about.
Oh, sure. And, you know, we have a lot of teachers listening, educators, and folks that actually could make a decision to use this as part of a curriculum. And it would, honestly, I'm quite serious. It would be a very interesting thing to do. What I would do, were it me, is I would take a class and teaching them, maybe some middle school students, and have assign them sides to this issue. Not that it's that binary, but assign sides, not ask them to choose a side, but, you know, you're going to be on the side of the corporate owners, you're going to be on the side of the workers, and, you know, to kind of role play a little bit in that and to use the music as part of an education. At the end, they can decide which side they might feel more of an affinity to. But honestly, this we spend a lot of time in classrooms here at SLB these days, an awful lot. We work with about 8,000 kids a year. And this is something that could really bring this particular history alive. And it especially, not only in our country, but all over the world right now, there are issues that I think would feel a lot closer if they could be brought to life.
They're way ahead of us, a lot of these countries around.
Well, you know, I think the thing
we're the democracy experts, don't forget.
I think the thing that is important for us to realize is that a lot of the things that we take for granted that are as part of what we refer to as the American dream all came from the struggles of our ancestors, those people who worked and fought to give us that eight-day hour and to make sure that young children were in school instead of working in a factory plant. You know, I mean, and overseas, that's not true. In China, there's a lot of young children working in the factories, and we had that here in the United States. But because of people working for the union, they gave us these precious rights that we have today. And, you know, if we don't think about that and honor that, they could disappear. And I think that's a big part of this tour is letting people know about what took place so many years ago and those brave souls who went out there, men and women, and tried to help organize to give us these rights.
Yes, there's no doubt that management has a very long memory, but the working class, not so much. I think management's very nostalgic for the days when industrious old people set themselves up on a corner and sold apples and pencils to support themselves in their old age and didn't grub those greedy Social Security checks. And they really would like to bring us back there, but I think that we can probably stop them. There are certainly a lot more of us than there are of the billionaires.
Well, you know, the common man and woman are usually full of hope. As part of the human condition, you try to be a hopeful person, so you tend to be very optimistic, and that sometimes means you eliminate, you know, the memories. Let me mention Rick Pilleri, Ann Feedy, George Mann, all here today. It's the Almanac Trail Tour that they are on. They're visiting the Saturday Light Brigade. The tour began here last night in Pittsburgh, where it should begin. And is heading off tonight. You go to Cleveland. Do you know the venue offhand?
Yes, it's called P.J. McIntyre's. It's an Irish pub restaurant, a union establishment.
Oh, gosh.
And Giles with Justice in Cleveland is sponsoring and hosting it. 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight in Cleveland, 79119 Lorraine Avenue, if I recall correctly. But okay. It's on the Almanac Trail website.
Yeah, it's just almanactrail.org.
.com.
Or .com, yeah. I'm sorry. And you can find these little map points for when they will be near you.
Because we're going all the way to California. We're going through Chicago, Milwaukee, Kansas City, Denver, L.A., San Francisco, all the way up to Spokane and then back. And one other thing I think is important, you know, the kids should understand this, that very little of this history is taught in school. You learn the history of the big corporations and the millionaires and all the good stuff they did. But you need to seek out this history on your own, because you don't get this kind of history generally in the school curriculum of the working people and the struggles.
Carnegie didn't make steel? Rockefeller didn't build the railroads?
Not on his own.
That's for sure.
And so this project that we're doing is one way that we hope to reach out to people and remember, like you said, keep that memory alive.
Well, and not to over-preach too, but this is also an example where taking any issue that you care about, and this is for adults, and I'll tell you, I've done that with a few issues, and I don't talk about things too much, but I've done that in terms of radio and the way I think radio ought to be used. If you feel passionate about an issue, the impact that you can have by, as Rick said earlier, rolling up your sleeves, taking matters into your own hands along with hands of other people, and you can really accomplish stuff. And so there's, while the labor movement aspects of this are very important. This is so much richer than, no disrespect at all to the labor movement, but there's so much more going on here that is important to understand, I think. I'm so glad you did this and that you're doing it.
Go ahead. Do you want to say something?
No.
I'm wondering if we could do the union train, get on board.
And you know, we're out of time. We have time for that, but yeah. I knew this was going to fly by. Thank you for being here. And thanks to our stations today.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
What is that yonder I see coming, coming, coming? What is that yonder I see coming, coming, coming? What is that yonder I see coming, coming, coming? Get on board, get on board. It's that you. Union train coming, coming, coming. It's that union train coming, coming, coming. It's that union train coming, coming, coming. Get on board, get on board. It will carry us freedom, freedom, freedom. It will carry us. Freedom, freedom, freedom. It will carry us. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Get on board, get on board. It has saved a many a thousand, thousand, thousand. It has saved a many a thousand, thousand, thousand. It has saved a many a thousand, thousand, thousand. Get on board. Get on board, Union Train. What is that yonder I see coming, coming, coming? What is that yonder I see coming, coming, coming? What is that yonder I see coming, coming, coming? Get on board. Get on board.
Thank you. Any closing words? We've got about a minute, and what a great song.
Well, I think that song really kind of sums things up about, you know, getting on board in life, right? We have to get on board. We can't just sit by and watch things go by. We have to get in there and get active. You know, it's so easy for us to sit behind. We all love our iPads and we love all of our computers and things like that. But it's also important to get away from those things and go walk out in the woods, look at the sky, be thankful. Be thankful for things. And when you see somebody who needs some help, make sure you help them.
Best wishes for a good road, Ann Feeney.
Thank you.
Rick Pilleri, George Mann.
Thanks.
Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings here on Community Radio.